Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, such as CM viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 34th lecture on Genesis. On April 12, 1961, Yuri Gagarin of the former Soviet Union became the first human astronaut to orbit an Earth once in an hour and 29 minutes. He is known to have left two famous quotes. One was, "The Earth is blue," and the other was, "I don't see any God up there." A few months later, another Soviet cosmonaut, Garmin Titov, accomplished the 17th Earth orbit for about a day. And he said, "I circled the Earth a dozen times, but I didn't see God." The U.S. also succeeded to launch a manned spaceship on February 20, 1962, and John Glenn, the first American astronaut to orbit the Earth, is known for having made these quotes. "While in space, I saw a tremendous view. God truly exists not only in the Earth, but also in the space." On Christmas Eve 1968, for the first time in the history, Apollo 8 with three astronauts entered an orbit of the moon. The Apollo 8 crew said they had a message they wanted to send everyone on Earth from 71 miles above the moon's surface. The live performances was broadcast on TV and radio around the world, including the United States. They began sending a very special message from the moon to the entire human race on the Earth. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was a light." They took turns reading Genesis chapter 1:1-5. On July 21st, 1969, an astronaut above Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong, became the first person to set foot on the moon. As soon as he arrived at the moon, he first remarked to the command center on the Earth was, "The space that God created is so beautiful." On July 30, 1971, James Irwin, an astronaut of Apollo 15, dropped a lunar rover on the surface of the moon. He said later, "As I was in the space and the orbit of the moon, I experienced the presence of God who fills the entire space." He was also known to have meditated on a famous Bible verses on his way back to the earth while looking at the amazing view of the earth. It was John chapter 3:16, which read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." James Irwin later became an evangelist. For 20 years before he passed away in 1991, he preached the gospel traveling the world. The core of the gospel he preached was the salvation of a God who loves the vulnerable people thrown into the universe. Dear brother and sister, both Soviet cosmonauts and American astronauts traveled the space. But why did the Soviet cosmonauts said imply that there's no God, while the American ones experienced the presence of God? The following question was posed by the journalist to the American astronaut who was testifying to the presence of God in the space. The Soviet cosmonauts said that they didn't see God anywhere in this place. But how could you see the God? But the American astronaut answers like this. He said, Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. His correct response was correct. Those who are pure in the heart can see God, but those who hearts are stained by the sin cannot see God. Those who are pure in the heart and who are of the goodness can feel God's eternal power and His divine nature. Tonight, I'm going to explain the third day of the creation. I hope you will listen to the work of the God's creation with a much more humble and a good heart so that you can give a praise and a glory to God who did such amazing work. Genesis chapter 1, 9 to 10, then God said that let the waters below the heavens and gather into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land the earth and the gathering of the waters in cold seas. And God saw it was good. On the second day of his creation, the expanse was created in the midst of the waters, and the waters below the expanse was separate from the waters above the expanse. Therefore, the third day of the creation, only waters below the expanse were left on earth. Therefore, the waters below the heavens refers to the waters below the expanse. At the time, the surface of the earth was almost officialist. The entire surface of the earth was relatively flat with no high mountains or deep valley. It was the kind of earth with such a flat topography that was covered by the water below the expanse. For your information, science calculated the depth of water needed to cover such a flat earth. Their study shows that the earth would be submerged under the water that was just 2,400 meters above the sea level. If the earth was completely covered with the water, its depth would be about 2,400 meters above the sea level. Then God said on the third day of the creation, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. Then crucial movement took place as some part of the earth rose up and the other parts subsided. And naturally, waters deepened where he ground sank. At this time, God said that He caused a great depression, like a huge problem, from near the North Pole. This is why the North Pole is covered with the sea and the South Pole is ground as the North Pole sank. In equal reaction, the South Pole rose up. The depth of the water also varies in places. At the time mentioned, it was the deepest in the North Pole, and it becomes shallow of the shallow towards the South Pole. For your information, the deepest point in the Earth is in the Pacific Oceans, where it's 11,034 meters deep. The figure is even greater than the highest point on the Earth, Mount Everest, which is 8,844 meters high. Currently, the average depth of the sea is 3,800 meters. God gathered the waters, the North Pole, and called the waters the seas, and He called the dry land the earth. By the time the sea were gathered into one and there was only one continent, then the five oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, and the Arctic, and the Antarctic oceans, and the six continents, Asia, Africa, Europe, oceans, Oceania, North America, and South America came into the existence. Alfred Wagner, a German scientist, proposed a theory that the Earth originally had one continent, but this was slowly divided into the drift around. The theory is called continental drift. As science has developed, many evidences prove that the continents can and do actually move. A new advanced theory was proposed, plate tectonics, where continents flowed on low-density rock plates known as the tectonic plates. Today's scientific terms that the college students learn are mentioned. Even if it's a little difficult, I hope you understand. Only then will it be connected to the content of the next lesson, and you will also receive the grace. I will give you an example to help you understand the plate tectonics. A huge glacier is floating at the North Pole. Since the glacier is so huge, it looks like a mass of the Earth covered with the snow. However, the large glacier is divided into the several pieces, and the pieces of the glaciers will move according to the flow of the water beneath the glaciers. In this way, plate tectonics describes the plates that float on the molten dense rock called the mantle, and the plates can then move according to the flow of the mantle. Now, what if the huge glacier collides with another huge glacier? Due to the collisions, a part of the glaciers will be broken to pieces and the damage, won't they? In the same way, due to interactions of the drift plates, volcanic eruptions or earthquakes take place. For your information, the reason why earthquakes occur frequently in Japan is because Japan is located where the three plates meet. The IT earthquakes also took place on the boundary of the two plates, the North America plates and the Caribbean plates. The earthquake in the Chile, which took place, was also caused by the collisions of the two plates. Chile is a country that occupies a long, narrow coastal strip of South America. The earthquake that took place as two plates, the Nazca plates and the South American plates, collided head-on. The South American plates move west by 8 centimeters every year, and in this process, the two plates collide. Although the Earth's surface is now divided into the several plates, on the third day of the creation, there was only one sea and one land. All the lands were stuck together, and all the waters gathered into one. This was later divided into several continents and several oceans through the tectonics movement. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you that the Earth was originally covered by the water of life, and then the expanse was created in the midst of the waters, and the waters gathered together to become seas. Now, since the water of life became the seas, was the water of life that covered the Earth salty? Not at all. The water of life is not salty. Then, when did the sea waters become salty? As God called together the waters, the seas, they become the sea waters with a constituents as of today. God made them to contain the salt, and they become salty. What is the reason that God made the sea water salty like that? First, this is to prevent sea water from becoming rotten even after a long period of time. By common sense, flowing water does not stagnate, but the stagnant water decays. If you put some fresh water into glass for a long time, the water decays over time. The sea waters are also stagnant waters, which are contained in the big vessel called the Earth. Therefore, chances are the sea waters may decay over time. However, the sea waters don't decay. The salt prevents them from decaying. River water is a flowing water, so it does not need the salt. But sea water is a stagnant water, so salt was added to make it salty. In addition, much water flows into the sea from the land, and much of this water is polluted. If the sea water didn't have a salt in it, the sea would be filled with polluted waters from the land. However, there's a salt in the sea waters. The polluted waters can be purified. The second reason God made the waters of the sea so salty is that it can greatly benefit the life of the man. For example, salt from the sea is necessary for man. It is generally known that the purpose of a salt is to season food or the salt food to preserve it. However, there are more than 1,400 fields where salt is used. The amount of the salt that is used for food is very small compared to the entire amount of the salt used. Using the sodium and the chlorine that can be chemically extracted from salt, people can produce various chemical products. Glass, soap, paper, plastic, pesticide, cleansers, bleach, glaze, antifreeze, fertilizer, agricultural chemicals. Salt is very beneficial to man's life. Most of all, salt plays a very important role inside the body of humans and animals to maintain life. 1.9% of the human blood is salt, and it performs many functions. It controls the body fluid to maintain its proper level, and also become a constituent of digestive fluid. Therefore, if you don't take in the proper amount of salt, you may lose your appetite, and in long term, you may suffer from impotence, boredom, fatigue, and mental dysfunctions. This reason you feel dizzy or lose consciousness when you sweat a lot at once is because the amount of the salt in your body suddenly decreases. If you take into the too much salt, it's harmful to your body. But taking a proper amount of salt is necessary to maintain your health. When soldiers march, if they climb high mountains or walk long distance in summer, they always bring salt with them in their water canteens. They drink water, which is salt. The military officer also checked to see if they brought salt. Soldiers sweat a lot, so they need to consume the salt. God knew that salt was an initial ingredient for us humans, and dissolve it in the sea water. When the sea and the land were created in the third day of the creation, God saw it was good. The creation of the third day is not yet finished. In verses 11 to 12 of the text, God had various plans to come out of the ground. So what does it mean that God saw it was good in the second half of verse 10? That is, was good. First of all, it was a gift for God to see the environment for human cultivation being formed one by one, and it was a good in eyes of a God that sea and the land were not separated but were united as one. Just as a Trinity, God has a one heart, will, and the thought, God the children also wanted to be one in heart. First, He wanted us to become one with God the Father, one with the Lord, one with the Holy Spirit. And when God the children become one with one another in mind, God the Father sees it and is very happy and pleased. Those who have received the Holy Spirit can feel this. When your heart becomes one with the indwelling Holy Spirit, you are happy and joyful. 1 John chapter 5, 7 says, it's a spirit who testifies, and the spirit is a truth. Since the Holy Spirit is the truth, we can unite it with the Holy Spirit when thinking in the truth, speaking the truth, and acting in the truth. 3 John chapter 1, 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that I have marked my warning. When believers live in the light and according to the word of the truth, I am too happy and joyful. You live in the light, live according to your words. I feel so happy and happy when I do it. So I especially emphasize and ask businessmen and elders to always live in the truth. Whether in big or small, I wanted to follow the rules and follow the laws of the country. I don't want them to break the law to avoid the losing out of the greed and the selfishness. As the Holy Spirit in you rejoices, the whole joy is directly to your heart as you are united with one with the Holy Spirit. As the time, the joy that cannot be expressed in the world and that cannot be obtained in the world comes from within your heart. However, if you think and walk against the will of the Holy Spirit, you feel distressed and burdened. It's because your heart didn't become one with the Holy Spirit, but separated from Him. Of course, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit left you immediately after you separated from Him. When you act in the untruth, the Holy Spirit burns and becomes sad. That's why your heart feels burdened and this. If you feel frustrated and distressed, it's because the Holy Spirit groans within you. The groaning of the Holy Spirit means that you've displeased God and have not lived by the truth, but have followed darkness. You feel miserable because your enemy, devil, Satan, instigated and obeyed you and lived in the darkness. However, in that case, you just have to repent. Then the sight of the Holy Spirit will stop and your feeling of the frustrations will go away. However, if you do not repent and continue to live in the untruth, there will be no turning back later. You lose the strength to pray and live in the future again, and you fall farther into sin. You will regret it later. You should quickly realize it, turn back and become so united as one with the Holy Spirit. If you go against the will of the Holy Spirit will eventually leave you. I urge you to become united as one with the Holy Spirit all the time and to please God. Jesus also prayed that you might become one with God and with each other. Jesus said in John chapter 17, 21, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that you world may believe that you sent me. Jesus gave this prayer on the day he was arrested. Just as God is in the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus in God, the Lord wanted to all of you to become one. Therefore, you should always try hard to become one with each other. You should become a one in obedience following the order. It's not untruth. I wish you can set aside your opinion to be united as one, no matter how good your seems. When you become the first to yield and are humble for the purpose of being united, you become the one that God sees as good. dear brothers and sisters in the Christ. Tonight, among the works of God, the third day of creation, I talked about the creation of the sea and the land. In the next lecture, I will tell you about the vegetation, plants yielding, seed, and the fruit trees bearing fruits. Since vegetation started to root in the ground, it cannot move to a new place by itself. However, even to the existence being as it, God gave granted an amazing ability. It's an ability that was never given to lion and the king of animals nor humans, the Lord of the creation. I will explain what the ability was that God gave to vegetation in the next future. I will explain what the ability was that God gave to vegetation in the next lecture. Our Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, 27 to 28, consider these lilies, how they grew. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of this. But if God so clothed the grass in the field, which is available today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will He clothe you, you men of a little faith? Together with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus managed all the work of the creation. That's why He could understand the love of God and His divine nature in all things all the more clearly than everyone as He came down to the earth and lived with a human being. I wish for you also to be able to see the divine nature of God even in the bit of the vegetation. I wish also for you to feel the delicate love of God the Creator in the depth of your heart. Just as the Lord said, how much more will He clothe you? You will be able to realize that God's love for you is far greater than for the grass. It is because we are the masterpiece of the God of creation, is that we as a human beings who are His masterwork. I hope that through this lecture on the Genesis, you can deeply understand not only the Almighty power of God, but also His love for us. May you love God more than ever and be loved all the more greatly by God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.